asthma. It's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Celine. How are you?
Kia ora. I'm well, yes.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. We're just talking about the world at large at the moment. There's a lot going on out there.
Oh, so much.
But Christmas is around the corner, everyone, so jingle those bells.
Yeah, almost there.
We're definitely having a few kind of that end of the year-itis texts coming through from renters across the motu. Let's start with, I think, the most hundies one here, which is, what are my rights when a landlord wants to evict my flat?
Yes. Okay, so... We use the word evict for a lot of things, but I think often evict legally in New Zealand kind of means that you've been you're being legally ordered to leave by the tenancy tribunal, mm-hmm. Which then really gets support from your tenants protection association, etc.
Yeah.
That can be if you haven't been paying rent or there's different things going on, but you probably mean that you've been served a written notice.
Okay.
Which is,
it's not a nice feeling.
It's not a nice feeling, and it is just words. So they are attempting to evict you. So yeah. I would argue that's true. So basically, there's no terms evictions anymore. So if you're on kind of a rolling lease, there needs to be a reason that you're getting served notice. So that there's a few things that can be, and it's quite clear that those are things that can be quite exploitable. One is that the landlord's family is moving in, or the landlord's employee. If it's an employee, that kind of has to be written in your agreement.
Okay.
But they can give you a 63-day written notice if they need a family member to move in. So that can be used quite a lot, and we've had texts before, I think, of people thinking that maybe was used as the way to evict them, and then that wasn't actually what was happening. So keep an eye on that for sure.
Do you do if you think that is happening? Because that's a really hard
to me.
One. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I guess you just have to really get support from Tenants Protection Association. Keep your receipts, you know, if you see anything, if you hear anything, keep all your evidence, and I guess moving back in is probably not possible, but you might be able to get some kind of financial dispensation.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, worth a try.
Nice, yeah. So he's like,
remember me. Yeah. Just give them a burst back into their life for Christmas. So that's 63 days. 90 days is the usual amount of time. And the reasons you could get one of them is that they're selling the property,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, a common fear of a lot of us quite commonly. Or they're redeveloping the site, making it commercial premise, or demolishing it, or really redeveloping the property. So that's a 90-day written notice. So you could kind of argue against those, but they're quite general situational things.
This is, I mean, because this person's text is I guess kind of vague, we're spiraling off of it a little bit here, but one thing that does often come up with the 90-day notice is, okay, your landlord gives you 90 days. Can you leave before then? Do you have a financial responsibility to stay to the end of that 90 days, or can you find what suits you best and then get out of there?
I actually am not 100% sure about the 90-day notice in that sense. I would look into it. I can definitely look that up, because I would think you would be able to leave earlier and you would have room in that, but I can look that up and find out.
Okay, we'll chase that up next time, maybe.
Yeah, we definitely will. Because basically, if you get a written notice, there's quite specific things that have to be in it, and if they're not there, then that time period hasn't started. So that's really important to look at too. So it must be in writing. It needs to give the address of the tenancy, the date when the tenant's to leave, and their what they're saying, and then is signed by the person who's given the notice. So if those things aren't there, it's not a legal, official written notice. So that's really important, because that's a good way to be like, well, it's not signed, so this isn't the 90 days we're starting from yet. But I will definitely find out about that, because I'm sure there would be wiggle room in that scenario.
Well, to the person who sent that in, I hope that's been useful for you. Yeah. If you are actually getting evicted, definitely go talk to Tenants Protection Association, even talk to Tenancy Services about that one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of resources online, and there's kind of, it's good to know exactly the things they're allowed to do and allowed to say, because there's quite specific wording in those things that are good to be aware of.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
What else have we got here, Zoe?
Okay, this person says, so much stuff is breaking at my flat at the moment. It's a very rickety old house. Worst of all, though, was the toilet. My landlord is so slow at fixing anything and makes it a huge hassle, so we ended up going ahead and organising to fix it ourselves, as it really couldn't wait. Can I invoice my landlord for this? If he fights it, could I bring up all the other instances where he's been so slow getting onto anything that needed fixing?
Yeah, this is unfortunately, as we know, so common.
I feel like we all know someone who's had this situation.
Totally.
Absolutely. And grim. That's probably why it's quite good to know, because they really kind of disincentivize paying for it outright and then invoicing the landlord. But maybe that would be a better system. Hard to say. There's kind of wording around, if there's a repair that's likely to cause injury, mm-hmm. or it's like genuinely dangerous, it could be like something to do with a broken window, or I'm not quite sure what the precedent is for arguing that. Like you could argue that a toilet or sewage, or depending on what was going on, a broken pipe, that could be argued to be super kind of time specific, and you really need to get onto it quickly. So in those situations, if the tenant has made a reasonable attempt to first contact their landlord, then you can do that and invoice them.
Okay.
And that's totally supported. But you're definitely having to show that you've made an attempt to really contact them. So I wouldn't go for that as your first attempt, unless it's something like that where you're like, we have a broken window, we have a burst pipe, we have a plumbing issue. Other than that, it would be contacting them, and then if they're not replying, do that 14-day notice to remedy,
mm-hmm.
and they really have to respond to that. Otherwise, then you're kind of going to the tenancy tribunal, and they'll be following up with them.
Ooh la la. Okay, we've got one here from someone who says, Celine, what are your thoughts on the government's extension of the deadline for properties to meet healthy home standards? Let's talk politics.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
That's a fun one, wasn't it? My phone on Twitter started to
vibrate.
Really go for it the other day. Well, it's not good in any way, is it?
So let's break it down a wee bit, because what's actually happened here?
It's basically giving landlords another year leeway if they haven't got their properties up to the healthy home standards yet.
Okay.
And they're arguing there's been confusion over what those standards are, and then they'll be liable if tenants... But it just really, in my opinion, it kind of shows a kind of a weakness to really address what tenants need, and kind of really shows that power dynamic ongoing. And I hope we have some people standing up in Parliament talking about it, so I hope this will not stand, because we've had texts recently about people saying that their house isn't healthy home compliant.
Yeah.
They've been trying to follow it up legally. Previous to this, your landlord would have really been in the gun for paying for that and paying a fee, and now that is not the case. So hopefully, if we cause some fuss online, really focus on it, advocating for it, that could come back in. But it's not a great message to tenants and landlords in terms of the power dynamic, I would say.
Crikey. Well, thank you to the person who sent that in. Thank you to all the people who sent in their questions this morning. We appreciate you taking the time to do that, and we're in solidarity with all your situations.
100%.
Literally.
It's a bit cooked.
Yeah.
But we've got one more chat with you before the end of the year. So if you have got more thoughts that have come up across this, or we'll chase up some of those loose ends from this morning, then in a fortnight we will have Celine back on the show to answer some more questions. Thank you very much, Celine. Have a great week.
See you then.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate Celine.